Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McGill, and we have as our co-host today, Rhonda Marshall.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Good.
Glad to be here.
So we're at the NCHE Board and Liaison Retreat.
We are.
So we're on site at a new location. We do this every year. We get to do some planning and some fellowship time. And we just work hard to try to do everything we can to serve homeschoolers better.
That's right. It's a fun time.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a lot of meetings.
Right, what do we got today?
Well, today we're going to remind you about the upcoming Moms Retreat that's coming up this fall that you're going to definitely want to know about. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the documentary, Shiny Happy People. Have you heard of that? And then we're also going to have homeschool conversations. Today we're going to show you a portion of a webinar that Amanda recently recorded with Lindsay LaVisca for parents of special needs and struggling learners. And they'll talk about main lessons that you can learn from it and how to modify curriculum and socialization for these special needs children. Then we're going to have Matthew bring some wisdom from the Word. And then finally, in Homeschool Helps with Amanda, she's going to kick off a brand new series that I'm really excited about. It's about common misinformation about homeschooling. And in this segment, she's going to talk about the common misinformation about day and time requirements, which a lot of people have that in homeschooling. So it'll be good.
Yep. Sounds great. Okay. Starting off homeschool news, this time we'll talk about the new, somewhat new now, a documentary on Amazon Prime called Shiny Happy People. And if you haven't seen it, then to be honest, I'm not recommending that you watch it. But if you're a homeschool family, you probably should be aware of it because you might run into somebody who has seen it. And although it's not totally focused on it, pretty much one of the main themes is homeschooling, and even more specifically, Christian homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And so I really just want to hit a couple of important points here talking about this documentary. On one side, we need to acknowledge that as it depicts in this documentary, there are some things going on in homeschools and in homeschool communities that are terrible. Mm-hmm. And we in no way need to feel obligated to defend or feel accused by something like that going on in somebody else's homeschool community or in somebody else's homeschool. There are people doing those kinds of things or bad things in all kinds of demographics and all kinds of situations. And so one of the things that I think a homeschool family shouldn't do is feel like, oh, well, this documentary seems to be attacking Christian homeschoolers, and so we need to somehow defend it. No, we do not need to defend or stick up for any of the people involved in that situation. On the other hand, what I want to say is it became very clear, especially at the end, that there was an agenda to paint homeschooling families and Christian homeschoolers as dangerous people because they are going to take over the world. You know, I mean, they're trying to prepare and they're militant, trying to get into the politics
government,
and all this stuff. I mean, it was a propaganda piece. I mean, really trying to inspire fear. And so once again, what are we going to do as homeschoolers when we have other people bringing this up or getting this idea? And that is, we want to present the positive view. We want to represent Christian homeschooling for what it is. Now, it's not shiny, happy people. In other words, it's real and it's hard. And things go wrong and we make mistakes. So we don't want to present this fake version. On the other hand, the vast, vast majority of homeschool families are doing a wonderful, wonderful work. And awesome things are happening in their home. And so we want to do the best we can to present that and promote that and represent that to the community. So anyway, I don't want to go into any further, but I just wanted to bring up those two points so you're aware of this documentary and so that you kind of know how to navigate that if you get cornered by somebody wanting to know about if you're a shiny, happy people. All right, we're going into the fall here very soon, and people who follow the normal semester structures are cranking that up. By the way, that's something Amanda's probably going to talk about, because you don't have to follow a particular schedule.
Right.
But a lot of time people are starting up school right now, and this is a really great time to think about your NCHE membership. If you are not a member of NCHE, this is one of the ways to take advantage of the best services, the best resources that we have for you. And so some of the things you get, there are two levels. The first one is $35. There's a free online mentor session. You get the Greenhouse Magazine. You get a monthly members email that has inside information, exclusive resources. You get early access to some of our activities and field trips. You get to participate in our graduation, get a sealed signature, signed diploma.
Mm-hmm. And a really nice case.
Yeah, yeah, instead of a plain one. Mm-hmm. There's NCHE student scholarships and lots of discounts. So that was level one. Level two, you also get a bundle, a free bundle of 5 conference recordings. Plus you get 3 sessions, and that's a $75 membership. So check it out. You can go to nche.com/join and find out how to be a member.
Awesome. Now I want to remind you about our upcoming Moms Retreat. It's October 13th through 14th. It's at the Caraway Conference Center in Asheboro. So you need to go to our website, nche.com, and click on the Moms Retreat image and sign up there, because we don't want you to miss it. It's such a blessing, a time of encouragement, a time to share, a time to be in nature. So I hope you'll join us there.
Sounds great. Okay, we're going to go into homeschool conversations. And as Rhonda mentioned before, we recorded a great webinar. Amanda, who's our homeschool helps director, as you know, interviewed Lindsay Levisca, and they had a great conversation about special needs and struggling learners. So we're going to now listen to another portion of that conversation.
So you definitely now have a lot of personal experience with homeschooling, some learning differences, some special
yes.
needs. So tell us about that.
Well, it's interesting. My son, like, he's the one that entered our world and taught me all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, is I truly believe he saved my biological daughters as well.
Mm.
Because it wasn't until I went through that journey with him that I realized, wait a second, issues that I was having with my oldest, for example, or with learning,
mm-hmm.
there was stuff going on behind the behavior. And long story short, we all have some sort of ADHD diagnosis in our home. I have ADHD. I didn't know that until, you know, I went and saw a doctor with my children about
yes.
their ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
But everything started to fall into place as mm-hmm. far as learning. We have, I have every one of us, not me, but my girls all have some form of dyslexia. My son has some form of dyslexia. We have, I have a very brain-based approach. And as a Christian, I also have my faith interwoven in that. And that's been so, so lovely as well. But I realize that so many of the learning challenges, like I had one of my kids who was constantly flipping, constantly doing cartwheels and flipping all the time. And I was getting so frustrated, like, why can't you just sit still? Why can't you do this?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It wasn't until this boy came in and shredded everything I thought about my perfect homeschool family and my, you know, my perfect, this idea that I had of what life was supposed to look like, I started to see these girls differently. So I started teaching them completely differently, and everything is just different, and we are thriving, but it has been a lot of work.
Absolutely. So what is the most important thing that you would say you have learned as a homeschool mom on this journey with all these different needs?
I would say, it's so funny, I was trying to like kind of summarize that in like one line, but truly it's like, can I give you the list? It's
uh-huh.
like, first of all, there is not one way. That was huge for me, realizing that there's not one way, that anybody or even if it's yourself, that has this belief that things are supposed to go X, Y, and Z way. And if they're not X, Y, and Z way, they're wrong.
Mm.
That has to go as fast as possible from your mindset.
Yes.
That the most important thing is to look at the child in front of you and figure out what their next step is. Whatever that little step is, that's your goal. That's the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. But not 10 years from now. Not what does the curriculum tell me they're supposed to be doing right now? What does not what does my neighbor think about her, you know? It's what does this child need in this moment to take their next step? And that's been super helpful for me and what I want to encourage parents to feel or moms to feel freedom in.
Absolutely. And isn't that just, I mean, that's just homeschooling in general, but especially with these kids that have these different needs, that it's not a competition. It's not a race. It's not, they're not inside this box. They can just do the next step. I love that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So my next question is, how do you modify that curriculum if most of the curriculum that's out there is not really designed for our kids that have these different needs? So what do you do?
Well, I think that your point is very interesting. You're saying, you know, most of the curriculum is not designed for our kids' needs, right? But it's so interesting because I find people are constantly asking me, I know they're asking you, like, what's the best? My curriculum is, my child has ADHD or my child is autistic or my child has dyslexia. Mm-hmm. What's the best curriculum?
Absolutely.
And I'm like, there is no best curriculum because the best curriculum for my kid based on who they are is not going to be the best curriculum for your child. And so unfortunately, people don't get the answer that they want. And that would be me as well. You know, for years, I tried to make a curriculum fit my child.
Mm.
But the thing is that every curriculum is a tool. And if I could encourage every homeschool mom, new homeschoolers or those that have been around for, you know, those that have been around for a long time, get this at this point. But the curriculum is a tool. So I'm in charge of the curriculum for my children. It's not that the curriculum's in charge of me. And I think when parents start to realize that you could use any curriculum as a tool, okay, as a guide.
Yes.
You could save so much money, save you so many headaches. You know, the curriculum's a tool and I'm in charge. And so that's what, that is like the lens with which I look at curriculum. And that's very, very helpful once parents can gain the confidence to know, I pulled my child, I'm homeschooling my child for a reason because I know that child best. And so I'm going to use this as a tool and I'm not a slave to this book that somebody wrote that doesn't even know my child, right? So specifically, it's always focus on the goal. So like if the math curriculum is asking, like, for example, we're going through a season with my son, who is now 9, but he struggles very much with abstract language and abstract concepts.
Sure.
So for, it's hard for him to go, like he was even having trouble with his subtraction facts. He's got an incredible visual memory and he can memorize anything, but he was really having a hard time borrowing. Okay.
Sure.
And I realized, well, the next page in this workbook was subtracting all these, you know, multiple digit subtraction problems. But I realized he needed to take a break and go back to the basics. And so I had to think outside the box and be willing to push back on the lesson, press pause.
Yeah.
Figure out where he is and where he's getting stuck. And then I'm going to spend a week or two just focusing on, fact families, triangles. Like, you know, the triangles where you put the circles?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like it seemed, and so it was literally because I was trying to help. I had to think outside the box and I couldn't let the curriculum force me to push through because that's what it says I'm supposed to do. So I want to give moms encouragement that they have that power. And I think that happens over time.
Yes.
The other thing is not trying to integrate, particularly for our children that are have different ways of learning, not trying to integrate all the skills at once. Mm. So you made the point about the curriculum. You know, the curriculum's designed, you're right, for a child that is fluent in their penmanship, that has fluent sense of read, you know, is able to read fluently, is able to line things up, you know, that has that the child that has no maybe ocular motor visual tracking issues, right?
Right.
So if the subject is, you know, if we're in phonics, if we're doing some reading and the question or the goal is for the child to identify the letter sounds that, you know, the digraph or the vowel team, AI, for example, or AY, what's making that long A sound, and it's asking to write everything out. If my child doesn't have the cognitive capacity or emotional capacity to put forth that extra energy, I'm going to take the pen out of their hand and focus on the objective, and absolutely, I will write it, or I'll have them circle it, or there's just so many different ways to modify. Oh,
yeah. Don't or even the motor skills. Yeah, even the motor skills to do that sometimes. Yeah,
absolutely. Exactly. So we can work on penmanship or the motor skills, the fine motor skills in isolation later.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hold my child back from being able to progress in reading.
Right.
Because I put this barrier in front of them, which is a pen.
Right.
Because the brain has to expend so much fuel doing this, mm-hmm, not just with the hand, but with the fine motor, because our visual tracking is also a fine motor skill. And people don't realize how much fuel the brain uses just to track if the reflexes and if everything in the sensory field and all of those skills are not integrated in the body. So the point is, focus on the goal. And that should help you figure out how to eliminate and zero in on what your target goal is. Does that kind of make sense, what
absolutely
I'm saying?
Absolutely. That is fabulous.
So you're definitely going to want to see the whole webinar. We haven't even released the whole thing yet. We're just giving you these previews. So what's going to happen is tomorrow on August 22nd in the evening, we're going to release this webinar. And when we do, it's going to be on YouTube. And when we do, Lindsay and Amanda will be there live to answer your questions. So you're going to watch it together,
how
pre-recorded.
Awesome.
And then Lindsay and Amanda will be able to interact with you and answer any questions that you have. So go to nchu.com/ability. And the reason of that is because this webinar is called Focus on the Ability, Homeschooling Those with Special Needs and Learning Differences. So again, nchu.com/ability. This is a free webinar, but you do have to sign up to get the link so that you can watch that private viewing.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Well, those of you who have been with us for a while, either listening or watching, may remember our homeschool reality moments.
That's right.
And we would like to revive that for this new season. Mm-hmm. So it's basically where you share a clip of you sharing a story about your homeschool or your experience or anything that's funny or moving or just silly or inspiring. And you can submit a video, any one of those that you would like. But right now, we're homeschoolers, so we're going to give you an assignment.
That's right.
So we would like you to give us a video that tells us or shows us how you're starting off your homeschool year. The first video that we select to be included on the show is going to receive a really great book from Andrew Pudawa. It's called However Imperfectly, Lessons Learned from 30 Years of Teaching. And it's a great book. So if you'd like to submit a video, I know you would. So please record your video horizontally rather than not the normal way you hold your phone. And we want videos to be about 1 to 3 minutes long. And don't forget that this is also going to be shared in a podcast setting. So make sure you narrate anything that you're filming. Mm-hmm. Visit our website, nchu.com/thehomeschoolshow. Scroll down to the description of the reality moment, and there is a form to submit your video. So I hope we really want to see them. I'm so excited about that.
That'll be great. All right, now it's time for a little wisdom from the Word. Last week, we were talking about Ephesians 6 And where it says children obey your parents and the importance of parents training their children to obey, I want to go on to what's more commonly talked about in verse 4, since we are already in this passage, where it says, Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I always thought it was curious why anger was the word here, and kind of wondered over time, what is it that would cause my children to be angry? And I want to go ahead and admit, my kids have been angry. You know, I've definitely provoked them to anger at times, and so I wanted to figure out how I was doing that. Well, as I've mentioned before, you know, one of the things that I realized how I did that was from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, where it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so as I read that, I realized a harsh word stirs up anger. And it made so much sense, right? Moms and dads struggle with being harsh with their kids, but I think dads struggle with it even more. So this is a way that we stir up anger in our kids, and that is by being harsh with them. We yell at them, or we criticize them, or you know, our voice and our tone is harsh, and nobody likes that. You know, that's one of the things that also helped me realize that my kids are people too. They're not just little kids that you can treat however. And I realized that even though I'm the parent, and I'm supposed to be in charge, and I'm responsible for them, and I'm responsible to make the wise decisions, they're also little people who need to be treated with respect. And so when you treat your kids with patience, with kindness, and with respect, that doesn't mean that you're not in charge or that you don't correct them or tell them what to do, but it means that you treat them with respect, then you will not provoke them to anger. They will be much in a much better position to hear you, to respond to you, to receive what you're saying. Now, let me be clear, they're still not going to like it, right? Of course, if you cross their will, they still may complain and cry and whine or even rebel, but it will be very different than you stirring up anger because of the way that you're doing it. Let the truth be the truth. Simply say what you want them to do or the correction. Let the consequences that you set for them be what they come up against, not you. And most of all, don't let it be a personal issue. When they disobey you, it's so easy for us to become angry and personally offended because we were disrespected or we were disobeyed. Don't make it a personal issue. Just say, you've disobeyed, you've disrespected, here are the consequences. And let that be the teeth and the enforcement of what you're saying. So this is all, of course, important for parenting and raising a family. It's also important for homeschooling because we have an opportunity as we're teaching and interacting with our kids to decide how we're going to interact with them, how we're going to treat them. Also, when you're teaching and training your kids in academics, as well as discipleship, the way that you're treating them is going to make a difference. And it's also going to build the foundation for a relationship with them where they trust you, they respect you, and you'll be able to pour into their lives. So remember, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And then that's Ephesians 6. And then over in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a harsh word stirs up anger.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. So today and for the next several segments, I'm going to address some misinformation. I know we hear about misinformation all the time, but even in the homeschool community, there is a lot of misinformation out there. And today I'm going to address one of the most common things that is misunderstood or people tell the wrong information, whatever it is. And that is about our requirements as homeschools in the state of North Carolina. So I hear it at this time of year, it's almost every day. I hear, oh, I know I have to do 180 days of school. You guys, that is not true. Years ago, it was listed on the Division of Nonpublic Education website as a recommendation. It has never been a part of our homeschool law. We have no day requirements as homeschools. We do not have to do a certain number of days. We do not have to do a certain number of hours per day. Okay? It doesn't matter where you hear my brother's sister's uncle said, no, we know the law. I've explained the law on these segments before, and now I'm telling you again, it empowers you to be free if you really know what the law says and what the law does not say. And this is one of those things that gets misinformed all the time. So now you know 100%. Do we have to count days in North Carolina? No, we do not. Do we count hours in North Carolina? No, we do not. Okay, what does the law say? We need to have school on a regular basis during 9 months of the calendar year. Now, what does that look like in your house? That's 100% up to you. And I guarantee you that if you ask 10 different homeschools what that looks like in their house, you would get 10 different answers as well. We are free to customize our homeschools to make them work for our children, for our families. So I really hope this helps today.
So thanks so much for joining us this week. It really means a lot to us that you spend time with us. So please send us any questions you may have. We'd love to have them. I know Amanda would love to have them. You can give us feedback too at thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. And please help others find our show by subscribing and liking and rating and giving a review on Apple Podcasts and on YouTube. And if you think this show would be beneficial to other people, please let them know about it. Not everyone knows. And if you think it's helpful, we really appreciate the share. To learn more how to subscribe to our show as a podcast or on YouTube, visit us at nche.com/thehomeschoolshow.
That's right. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.